They say life begins at 40.
I'm 40 now, and that's, you know, I mean, I'm 40. I'm half dead, basically. 40's a weird age.
No! Kelly Clarkson!
Help! Frustrating, but inevitable for most people. It's middle-age spread.
Hey, Endo! This is what it is! You put one foot in front of the other, and
Mommy, Daddy.
Today, we're going to talk about the Fountain of Youth.
You don't know this, Stephanie, but while you were there monkeying with your necklace trying to figure that out.
I don't know
how this thing goes. I did the impossible.
Okay.
At least for now. I held off a sneeze. Like, I really had to sneeze.
Not like me last episode. I, like, in the middle of the...
You know how hard it is to stop a sneeze from coming? I not only did I stop it, it's gone.
It's gone.
Yeah. I don't think that I'm going to have to...
That's really good.
That's ridiculous.
I don't know. For some reason, that makes me want to yawn. Like, and I'm trying to hold in my yawn. I don't know why, because I have so much. I have exclusively drank caffeinated beverages this morning.
Oh,
this could be interesting.
You're not, like, been getting enough sleep?
I went from what? No, I didn't prepare. I drank some coffee at home, and then I went to a place that was just like all coffee and networking. Mm. So it was just coffee. And then I met some of my writers and stuff from Louisville Family Fun, and we had coffee. I just need to have water for the rest of the day.
Probably.
And I'll crash.
We should all drink more water.
I have. You know, for the last 3 weeks, I had one of those moments in life where you're like, feel like so awful about myself.
Yes.
Right? So I had one of those days, and I needed I flipped a switch, and I haven't even weighed myself, but I think I've lost some weight. But I'm eating super healthy, exercising, and I'm pretty.
You're feeling better.
Oh, feeling so much better. It was just one of those days where it was like, why do I feel so bad? And then I thought about all the things I ate that day, and I went, oh, that's a genius. Maybe I should not eat those things.
They kicked in the...
Teresa would be so proud, you know, from the...
Yeah. Well, this week they kicked in the office weight loss competition.
See,
and I signed up for that because I usually do very well in
those. You're going to do it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have... there's no way that I did well this week because I was traveling most
yes,
of the week.
That's
so
hard.
When I'm in a hotel or I'm out to dinner with all these coworkers and I'm...
You don't want to be the one that's like, I'll have a side salad.
Mm-mm, I had a filet.
Oh, yeah.
With asparagus.
Oh, well, then, hey, that's good.
And fingerling potatoes.
There you go.
It was delicious.
There you go.
There was a Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in my hotel.
Okay. Oh, how
ironically
convenient.
It wasn't a very nice hotel. It was kind of run down and gross.
But it had that steakhouse.
Yeah,
so
that's not where we ate. We went somewhere else.
So it has been an atypical morning of a lot of caffeine and coffee. And I will reset myself and get back to my good ways of the last 3 weeks.
You know, it's never too late to flip the switch.
I do.
You can flip it now.
I feel so much better.
Yep.
The last 3 weeks, and it's just basically some simple rules I'm following. But I'm not like weight loss challenge.
You're an upholder.
I am not. I know. I love my rules, but I have to make my rules for myself. You know, so I have my certain rules, and also I move my work bike into the den.
Uh-huh.
So it's just like staring at me.
Yeah.
And I'm riding it a lot more instead of just sitting on the couch and thinking about the work bike being in the basement. Now I see it and it talks to me. It's like, get on the bike, ride the bike. And then I'm just following my rules, and it's not like the weight loss competition. I'm not weighing myself. Like, I have no clue.
Yeah, we're
if
doing
I've
it every Monday morning.
I've literally, oh gosh, like
judging,
at the office?
Judging ourselves in front of the everybody else, percentage of weight loss in total.
Oh my gosh.
It's not, you know, by pounds, because I can lose.
Right.
You know,
it has to be percent.
5 pounds. Yeah.
Exactly. Right. And so I'm not doing that at all. Because I've decided it's more about the way I feel. And I think
that's a smart way to do it.
So if I feel better, I know I'm doing the right things.
Yeah.
And, you know, my parents were visiting. And there were definitely some days where I indulged and I felt it. So I know that there are consequences.
Yeah, my physical therapist.
Yes.
Who I'm still seeing. This sucks. Anyway, he says exercise is the magic pill that everybody's looking for.
Yeah.
Just get off your... I had a conversation with Mrs. V this week, and I said, sweetheart, can you and I just go on walks in the neighborhood in the evening, just you and me?
Well,
the kids are old enough to stay at home for 20,
exactly.
20 to 30 minutes without burning it down.
Will you bring the dog, though?
Doing
you have
their
to
homework.
Bring
the
dog?
The dog would thank us.
Yes.
And we'd spend, not only would we both get exercise, but we'd spend time together, which is hard to find. So some of that requires the children being disciplined enough to stick to their homework while we're gone.
Right.
And so if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And we'll just
it's worth testing out.
We'll blame the kids because everything's their fault anyway.
It's worth testing out, I think.
We're going to try it.
That's a good idea.
Once she gets healthy. She's not feeling well this week.
Well, right.
At any rate.
Yes. So that's my latest here. Yeah. So I'm shrinking. That's how I kind of I've been referring to it. I'm shrinking.
Now that we're caught up on life in general.
Yes.
We're going to do a little fun thing. It's okay. Kind of a get to know you episode.
Right.
I really got to know you last week.
I know. Are you done? Is everyone done getting to know me?
Well, we're going to.
You don't know everything. Sorry, from 50 minutes.
Right.
There's actually more, but we're done enough about me.
We're going to. Now, we're talking about you.
Oh, yeah.
Week.
Okay. Yeah. But fun stuff,
yeah,
right?
I have three questions written down, and these are just. You know, stuff I cooked up
off the top of my
head. I'm trying
to see through your paper.
You won't be able to read my writing.
I see you have doodles, though.
Yeah, well, this is my deck that I'm going to build.
Oh, very nice.
That I want to build.
Okay.
This just happened to be scrap paper.
Okay.
At any rate, I'm going to ask the questions, and you can answer them, but what I really am digging for is how can you apply some sort of lesson that you learned, and we want to hear the wisdom behind
these answers.
And two of them are
are serious questions.
Not really,
I wrote down my questions for you, they're like
definitely the second one
silly.
Is not serious.
Oh, okay.
Not, but I mean you take it either way, any way you want.
Okay.
We just want it to be useful information.
Useful information because we're imparting our wisdom
right,
on everyone all the time.
Because clearly we have cornered the market on wisdom.
We have a podcast, so therefore
that's
we are
right.
Wise.
We are the spokespeople for
uh-huh.
All right.
Okay. Right. Okay. Here we
no,
go.
I don't have drum rolls or any.
I'm ready
presentation.
Though. Okay.
Okay. Question number one. What is your top regret of something you didn't do? And what did you learn from that?
Oh
or
my gosh,
why
this is so deep.
Something you didn't do. Now, we all have done things, and we're like, oh, man.
Okay, I have something.
Okay.
Again, I don't know. This is just the first thing that came to my mind, so therefore it's top of mind.
That's
but
exactly, well,
in
that's
30,
what I'm shooting for.
In 30 minutes, I may have something deeper, but I did not study abroad in college,
mm-hmm.
and I really should
have
done that.
Did you have the opportunity to do so?
I mean, anyone really can if you're in a big enough university, they have those kinds of programs, but I didn't do that. And I really regret that because it's hard now to, with kids, and it's expensive,
yeah.
and you have work, and you've got soccer schedules, to find that much time. So I did in high school. I spent a summer in Spain, and I lived with a family.
Okay.
So I did in
it
high
sounds
school.
Sounds like you did and did not do what you regret.
But I was also like 16. As a college age kid, I think I would have had
a lot more to drink is what you were trying to say.
No, because I don't think that was the legal drinking age, really little younger.
Oh.
So that wasn't so much of a problem when I went in high school. But anyway, I think it would have been also more cultural. I was bound in high school to the place,
okay.
the little town where I was.
Yep.
You know, I couldn't explore, get on a train. I wasn't alone. I was with a family. And
you personally may not have had it in you to venture off on your own.
Right. And it was all very scheduled. Mm-hmm. And there was things like that. But I think if I went to high school, I mean, if I went to college and studied somewhere and had a kind of university experience abroad and encouraged more of the language skills, or even if I went to an English-speaking country, I would have had a more cultural experience than I did even when I went in high school. That was more of a different type of experience.
What would that cultural experience have meant to you at your age now?
So what it? Well, one, if I would have continued with kind of the Spanish, I think that would be a good skill to have. That
yeah,
right. I can still very much understand Spanish and
really
and do a good
that's something
job.
New I learned about
yeah that. But I'm usually like the translator if something goes come on TV or watching something and something's in Spanish, hey, what they say before the subtitles, I'm like, well, this is what they said, you know. But I think that would be good because okay. I would have had a more
deeper appreciation for the culture.
I'd be able
maybe?
Yeah and well,
why would you have gone back to Spain, or would you? Have
no,
gone
I don't
to
know. Maybe I would have done. Maybe I would have. Even if I was in Europe, you know how everything's just so much more closer.
No, proximity. I've never been to Europe.
Okay.
I have no
well,
idea.
You know, all of Europe, you can navigate and go to different countries pretty easily
on a train,
right?
For the most part.
And
right.
so maybe I would have gone to. I've never. My family is like 1,000% Irish. So maybe I would have went to Ireland and explored, or I think there would have been, I would know more, so that right now if I wanted to take my family, I don't even know where I'd start. But maybe if I went in college, I'd say, let's go back to this place, or let's go back, and I'd just be more knowledgeable about, I feel like as an American, I could definitely know some more.
Yeah.
And I think that would have just given me...
Just never leave. It doesn't matter what you know.
There you go. It would have just lit my fire to learn more about, international things that might impact me. But that's a regret, that I should have done it. You're already paying for college. You've got all this stuff going. The expense isn't top of mind as much as it is now. I'd go, how much does it take for us all to go for like 3 weeks to Europe? Because what are we going to go for? You have to fly so far. Are you going to go for a week? You have to go for a long time, yeah, I feel like.
7 to 10 days. 10 days probably.
Probably at least.
To right. really see anything.
And so you're talking about a large expense, and I could have probably spent 4 months
during college. Is this a goal for you then, to get back to Europe? Either not by yourself, but maybe with David or...
Well, I think when the kids are old enough... That they're really...
I don't want to take the kids.
I will take my kids.
Nah.
But I think at least they have to be in high school. And so... Yeah,
so you can be the Griswolds traversing through...
There you go.
Through Europe.
Yeah.
After a pig in the poke contest.
And so that's... we'll go. My husband's not a huge traveler, but imagine when we retire at some age that there will be travel that goes on, and we will go to various places of... All over. I mean, who knows where?
Yeah.
But I think I definitely, when my kids are old enough, I will go.
We did lots of traveling to pretty fun things before we had kids. And that is one thing that I know that Mrs. V and I both enjoy together. So, we take the kids, went to Washington, D.C. We'll do little road trips here and there. We went to Nashville a couple years ago and did some historical stuff, and St. Louis, just road trips. But I know that my wife and I enjoy the experience of traveling together and finding out these new things. So that's something that I think we have to look forward to.
Yeah.
Just because you're married with kids doesn't mean your life is over.
No, I just think it's just more expensive. And so there's barriers to it. I don't know a chunk of time right now in our lives where we could take 3 weeks and
make it
go to Europe or something.
Yeah, but you're working on a life that's pretty independent.
I am.
As a self-employed entrepreneur.
I could, but my children, they have activities and such. They have quite the schedule.
Yeah.
So, you know how that is.
Well, their lives revolve around you.
Is that the way it's supposed to be? Wait a minute.
That's the way
it's supposed to be. I thought my life revolved around them.
Mrs. V and I always said before we had kids, it's like, they call it a nuclear family because we are the nucleus and they revolve around us.
Right.
Well, now, of course, we accommodate what they want to do, and we want them to be happy and active and well-rounded and all of those things.
I think I do a little bit of both then.
Trust me, we lose sight of that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
But in general, we always come back to it. So.
Well, maybe I'll make it happen. But again, like I said, not till, for example, if I always have a poll kind of since I spent a large time in this little La Rioja in Spain, Arnedo was the city. I always have a poll that if I go to Europe, I'm going to go back there just as an adult to see what it is. Yeah. Maybe see the family that I'm connected with them on Facebook.
Still?
I found them.
Oh, nice.
No, I found them like only recently within a year, the last year. Wow. And so one of the main reasons being the Spanish names, everybody has different names and they have multiple names. It was really hard for me to find them because I couldn't remember the combination of all their names. Seriously.
No, I wouldn't think.
Because the mother, the grandmother, even the children have different combinations of last names and stuff.
Weird.
And I couldn't find them, but I did. And so anyway, I always have this pull to go to that little city.
Mm-hmm.
And say like, oh, this is cool, like, and revisit that. So that's why I say it's a regret from college, because imagine if I had gone and done all these other things in college, I'd have this pull. So sometime when they're old enough, if my children take Spanish in school and stuff, I will just use the excuse of it's educational for them. I'm taking them to learn more Spanish.
The world is a bigger place than
Louisville,
Kentucky.
Right.
For sure.
Exactly.
Okay, moving on.
Oh, another question.
This is a fun one.
That one was a little bit intense.
That's okay. That's getting to know you. See, these are the sort. Don't you think these are the sorts of questions that if you're really talking to somebody over coffee,
sure,
you would ask this type of question to get to know them. It wouldn't be, you know, who's your favorite sports team?
Right.
You ever been to the PGA Championship? Whatever.
Whatever. You just made fun of one of my questions. No, I'm kidding. It's close. I have one question that's just totally a loser question.
We'll get there.
Anyway.
Okay. Top three TV shows from the 1990s.
I'd have to Google if they're actually from the 90s. Okay.
And, well, I'll let you know. And what did they mean to you?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, Beverly Hills 90210.
Yeah, that was the 90s.
Okay. And then, therefore, Melrose Place.
Also 90s. Now, why did they mean something to you?
I think that was my first kind of adultish show.
Okay.
Like, it had those adult innuendos. And also, it's not like now where you can watch things on demand.
Yeah.
It was probably one of the first shows that it was like, I had...
Appointment television.
To watch it.
Yeah.
I had to watch it. And those characters, you got so into it. We almost got, everybody got lost in those characters.
I guess those are 90s.
They are 90s, right?
Yeah.
Because even, wouldn't like Saved by the Bell be earlier than that? Or was that 90s?
I never watched it. I think it was later. It has to have been 90s because I'm sure I was in college because I just was not paying any attention.
But those two shows are the first that pop into my head. And then I might have to go, okay, this is not a TV show, but I must have to go with, just in general, must-see TV Thursday nights.
Okay.
Because that's like, you watch them all together. What was that? Like Seinfeld, Friends.
Frasier. And ER.
So this was like, you sat down at 8 o'clock or something, mm-hmm. and you watch 8:30.
They kicked everything off with Friends. And then at 8:30...
Seinfeld?
No, Seinfeld was at 9. They put something on like... Two girls, a guy, and a pizza place, or all these wiener shows that never really took off.
To try to
mad get about to watch. Mad about you as
mad
part
about
of it.
You.
Yeah, that was a good one.
So I would say I would loop that in as one television show.
Must see TV
because it was again you sat down. There's nothing equivalent to that right now, and part of it might be that like you used whatever term you just used appointment television.
Yeah.
Right now I don't watch anything on the time that's on, and
really?
So nothing.
I still Except watch The Walking Dead when it comes on.
Even sporting events, we usually start them about half hour late because then we can fast forward through the...
Don't tell me that.
Okay,
you sorry. Know what I do for a living.
Sorry.
Come on now.
Nobody watches the commercials.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do. Okay.
If they didn't...
If we catch up live, we watch the commercials.
Okay,
but
fine.
Or we pause... Oh, go to.
Did you learn anything from those shows? Like, yeah. I don't know.
Okay, that's watching ER, I kind of thought I wanted to be a doctor.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. ER, because I went to college thinking I would be a doctor. And so I think ER might have been a part of that.
Wow. I guess I was out of college by the time ER came along.
No, ER? You'd have to Google it.
ER, no. ER started in 94.
Yeah, so I, no.
Yeah, I had just graduated from college, and it started that fall.
Yes, you see, you are so much older than me.
It's like a whole other life.
I graduated high school in 96.
Okay.
So I watched ER all throughout my high school. And so that might have influenced, but I didn't become a doctor, obviously, but it influenced my interest to become a doctor. Because that show, even though there were some storylines, of course, that were crazy, it was still sort of this real life ER drama.
Well, they turn the drama factor up to 10.
Right.
To make sure that, and so even when we watch When Calls the Heart on the Hallmark
channel. I watch it too. I just don't, I like to make fun of you. I don't know why, but I watch it too.
It's good. Yeah. Last week was good.
I got my parents into it anyway.
And, but they, you know, there's no way that there's that much drama in that little teeny town in Canada.
And they don't dress that nice and they're not that clean.
That's a big 90s star factor on there. Jack Wagner's on it. And,
oh, right. I watch General Hospital.
Who's the... Lori Loughlin.
Yeah.
Of course, is one of the...
So, I just... those are the... Those TV shows...
Josie Bisset is going to be on starting
Melrose,
next week.
So, that was Melrose
There's
Place.
Your Melrose Place.
So, those are my shows.
It's so
and
corny.
I can't believe I actually nailed the ones that were in the 90s. Yeah. Mostly, high school. All those high school shows.
Okay.
That I watched.
All right, this one is really theoretical, but this is something, I don't know, people may think about this all the time. what one thing could you do today? You talked about flipping a switch on your health, right?
Right. I flipped the
what
switch.
What one thing could you do today that could make your life better?
Oh, gosh.
That's a biggie.
One thing.
Yeah.
One thing. Okay. Here we go. Go and... this is gonna... You can construe this in so many different ways. I need to go buy a new mattress.
Okay.
And that will make my life immensely better.
Do you have back problems?
Yeah, so okay. I had these back problems, right? And if we're just being totally transparent, the only way to avoid it hurting right now is for me to sleep on the couch.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You've talked about that.
Yes. So, I believe that I need one of these fancy schmancy mattresses that are a lot of money. So we haven't just gone out and bought a new mattress because I don't need just a new mattress. I think I need a very high-end mattress. So it's kind of like buying a car. Mm-hmm. I've got to go and test out, what is it, the Sleep Number or the whatever Posturepedic, and it adjustable or not adjustable. And it's going to be expensive. So it's been like a month and I know I need a new mattress. If I just could suck it up and go buy a new mattress, that would instantly change my life. I would be off the couch.
There are mattress companies now that, and I'm not going to mention them because they're not sponsoring this show, but they do sponsor a lot of podcasts where you go on and you order it and they deliver it to your house and it comes in a box and then it unrolls. And it's like a 100-day guarantee. So if you sleep on it and you're like, this sucks.
And it didn't.
Get it and they'll take it back and give you your money back.
And I need to just do that because I would know instantly, like, I have been in denial and I'd said, okay, I'm going to go back to my bed and I'm going to sleep there. And the next day I wake up and oh my gosh, if I'd slept here on two more nights, I wouldn't be able to move again. I know it's my mattress. I just have not bought a new mattress. So that could change.
We bought a mattress when we first, like a king size bed, when we moved into our house that could fit a king size bed. And I got impatient. We got it home and set it up. I was like, I don't know, maybe I'll sleep on this. And I took the plastic off, which you shouldn't do, because once you do that, you can't return the mattress. And I hated it after the first day. And I had to sleep on it for 10 years.
Right. And so I'm if I go high end, which we're probably going to have to do,
That's fun. Go spend the money.
I need to test them out.
It's going to be something you didn't do that you're going to regret.
But one of the things is that we need to just do it. But since we both have to decide, we have to find a time where we're both going to be able to go and check them all out and decide. And then you got to deal, really, we want to drag two kids.
No, you don't.
To go mattress shopping. They're going to be jumping on all the beds and we're going to be... And so if I could just go buy one today and have it done with,
That's a good answer.
And my back would be okay.
It's simple.
I would have a new mattress. I'd be good for 10 years and I'd be good to go. But right now, I just haven't done
it. That's a good, simple, practical answer. You didn't have to dive deep into something philosophical.
I need a new mattress.
Very practical. And I think that we all have those things.
Right.
We're going through every day. Like, you know, my brakes are kind of squeaky. Or, mm-hmm. I mean, for me, it would be I would just cut sugar out immediately. I mean, that kind of goes without saying.
Right.
But I think that we all walk around all day thinking, if this, if that, what are you waiting for?
Right.
It's either stop worrying about it or do something about
it. Well, I need to do it. I'm thinking of considering saying, you know what, let's go to the mattress store this weekend. That's it. Yeah. We'll have to bribe our children, but whatever.
Just keep them at home. They're old enough.
No, they're not.
Send them to a friend's house.
I know. Pay for a babysitter so we can go mattress shopping. But I can't go to a mattress shop because I think I have to test out all the different places that some of them have their own mattress store.
They're all the same. All right.
Really? I know nothing. I have to educate myself.
All the same.
So anyway, I need one because I need to get off the couch.
I think we have time to squeeze your questions in for me. I thought maybe that would be a two episode.
I was so concise in my questions.
Okay.
In my answering. No, I mean,
no,
that's
good.
So
that's,
I was. No. Okay. Mine was.
I'm going to give you one word answers and make this miserable for you.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to try to embellish since mine are just... I just have words here to remind me what the questions are. So I'll try to embellish my questions. Okay, here's one. Because I just spent some time with my parents, I want to know, what will you be doing, ideally, on a random Tuesday when you are 75?
Wow.
What will you be doing, ideally?
75? I mean...
Because I wanted to put you in retirement age. And you've been retired for a while.
Yeah.
So what are you going to be doing? It's Tuesday. What do you do?
I will be traveling.
You will be traveling where?
These
are your word answers. That is, traveling.
That's right.
Abroad.
Yeah.
On a plane.
Yeah. There's we talked about it earlier already. I mean, I think we like to travel. So
where would you be going? Because this is not your first trip. It's not your second trip because you've been retired for a while.
Yeah. I would like to be a Rolling Stone in my old age.
Ah.
So okay. Maybe I'll have a trailer somewhere in Bonita Springs, Florida.
Oh, yes.
But that will allow me to live inexpensively. And my mom always says, like, she's hard to buy stuff for her birthday and Christmas. She goes, I don't like to have things. I like to do things.
Yeah.
And I think that there is an element of me in that, or of that in me. So given the opportunity, if I plan well and I am living inexpensively, and my children, of course, by the time I'm 75, for God's sake, they better be independent.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's 30 years.
You never know. You know.
In that your children, your oldest will be about your age.
I know, but my youngest will be... your age.
I'm approaching old.
Yeah. And who knows?
So you'll have this little place to collect your mail.
Yeah.
And
rest my weary bones when I come back from a trip to the Yosemite.
So will your trips be tropical or they'll be experiential? They'll be...
Yeah. I think experiential, for sure.
The places on Earth that are like, you have to see this before you die.
I spent enough time on the beach. I really did. Like, I lived in Florida for 4 years.
Right.
And I lived a half mile from the beach. I didn't go there every weekend, but I lived in and worked in that environment. And I get it. I got enough. And we go to the beach periodically for vacation.
Right.
And I love it there. Don't get me wrong. But there is so much more in the world than a coastline and some sand.
See, I love the beach, but I think when I retire, it would be more like I'd be going to Tahiti and being in one of those huts that are over the water.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Instead of the beach that has the hokey things for the kids, why we do it now on the cheap, I'd be in the middle of, you know, these deep blue waters isolated with a straw roof. Beach. That would be my beach when I'm retired.
When Mrs. V and I first went to the beach, our first trip, we went to Destin, where her family owned a condo, and we stayed in it for a week, and we went with another couple, and I always say it was the best vacation I ever had, because it was just adults.
Mm-hmm.
We were all of legal drinking age. We were independent of one another, so if we wanted to, you know, just go out with me and the wife, and then they go somewhere else, it's fine. We didn't, but there was nothing to do. And we were on the beach, and I was sitting in a chair, and I watched a sailboat come into the horizon on the left, and I watched it cross the entire, and I can just sit in a beach and on a beach chair and stare at that.
Right.
My wife's like, well, let's play Frisbee or something. I'm like, why?
I'm watching the sailboat.
Yeah, if I can go, maybe when I'm 75 on a random Tuesday, I'll be sitting. But I'll be sitting somewhere that's fancy.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
How about that?
Okay, there you go.
Staring at something beautiful.
That's great. Okay. Now, to flip it to the other end of the spectrum, so there's 75. Now, let's go back to when you tell me about... Now, I don't want you to want to just tell me the specifications, but tell me about your first car, why it was selected, and the tell me about your first... I can recall that first experience driving.
I know exactly what I did.
So I want you to tell us about that.
I can smell the
air. Exactly. So tell me about your first car and that experience of freedom.
Yeah, it was fun. I had a 1981 Candy Apple Red Ford Escort station wagon.
You had a newer car than I did.
It was insanely stupid. It had really bad pleather red seats, and it was a station wagon.
Sweet.
And everybody's like, oh, yeah, station wagon. Just give me a break.
No.
No, I had to haul my guitar around.
Pleather.
It was gross. I saw one recently. I drive a Prius now. I know. Thank you. I'll kick my own ass.
You've really come a long way.
And but I was driving my Prius home from Cincinnati, I don't know, a couple years ago. And I stopped off somewhere to buy something. I was like, oh, my gosh.
It's your car.
And I parked right next to it on purpose. And I wanted to take a picture of it so bad that the guy was sitting in it. And I thought that he would think that I was weird.
You should have knocked on the window and said, can I get in?
just take me for a ride.
Did you have power steering?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fancy.
And it was automatic. I had to have a tape deck put in it.
Oh,
it just had a radio. But it was chosen for me. I think that it was inexpensive, and I was very, very fortunate in that my father bought me that car.
Were you 16?
Yeah. Okay. Well, he got it before I was 16, so it sat out in front of the house for a couple months, and I'm just
waiting
go sit
for
in
you.
It. But I was lucky to turn my birthdays at the end of April. So in Indiana, at that time, you had to be 16 in a month.
Oh.
So it was the end of May, like right after school was out.
You were cruising.
When I got my license, and I couldn't wait. I woke up that morning, and the license branch didn't open until 10 because it's a government office or something. And I went up and took my test. I can remember that too.
Yeah.
And I knew all the answers, and I got my license, and they were like, hey, congratulations. And then, of course, I walked home because I couldn't drive yet.
Right, right.
I lived in downtown Madison, so I could walk. It was like a 8-block walk up there, and I got the keys, and mom and dad were at work. Nobody was home. I was like,
well, I guess I take the car now.
I guess I go. I mean, I got the license. I got the car, and I went to, what do you think I did?
Where did you go?
It was maybe 11 o'clock in the morning.
Wait, it wasn't a school day.
School was out for the summer.
School was out for the summer. You went.
What's the most common thing people do in their cars? I would think.
You went to a drive-thru.
I went to the McDonald's drive-thru.
For lunch. There you go.
And I got a Coke.
Awesome.
That was it. Just a Coke.
You're like, here I am. I could see you, arm up on the side.
That was it,
you had
baby.
To crank down the window.
I did. I had to crank it
down. The window.
It was ridiculous. I guess it was a couple summers after. I still had that car. And I worked in a fireworks store. And I just had, the whole back of it was full of fireworks.
Oh, right.
That was a fun summer.
Yeah. And I had the pleather seats as well. And I remember in the summers how hot and sticky and disgusting
those were.
Oh, it was so awful.
I think the transmission fell out of that thing. And then I was upgraded to a Toyota Camry.
Ooh,
that car would have, I'd still be driving it today. I'm sure that it's out there somewhere.
Now talk about, that was like the car of the 90s, the Toyota Camry.
Was it?
Everybody had a Toyota Camry.
Mine was an 85.
No, that car really took it in as like the family sedan.
Yeah, buddy.
Everybody I knew had a Toyota Camry.
That was a stick shift, and it was fast, and I liked it a lot.
Oh, you see, stick shift is gone. People don't.
All my friends in high school—I shouldn't say all of them. Most of them had really awesome hot rods.
Really?
It was a small town, so you know, my friend Travis had this green Chevy Nova, and it had a big old engine in it.
Mm-hmm.
Pleather seats still. I talked to him last week. He bought it back. He sold it, and it changed hands a couple times, but he tracked it down and bought it back, so
he
has got it again.
Hmm.
Had a couple friends with Mustangs and Camaros, and I had a Ford Escort station wagon.
My sister had a yellow Mustang, that 80s-looking Mustang,
yeah.
You know,
ooh,
that body style?
Ooh.
Yeah. It was yellow with...
Those were the crappiest...
With black kind of striping or something on the hood.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. So bad. I had a 19. Well, I had two cars. The day that I actually drove the Camry, I had a Corolla. 1980 Toyota Corolla.
Okay.
And that was really my car. But
was it brown?
It was red.
Okay.
With black pleather. So the heat
super
in
hot.
The summer. And there was a point in that car where the only way to keep it overheating in the summer was to actually run the heat.
Yes. Oh, we've all been there.
We've all. Yeah. And so we would just.
It siphons the heat off the engine and into the cabin.
I would be running. I would have the windows all the way down. I'd be driving to some job, you know, my summer job, and full blast heat in
That's
this
hilarious.
Car and this black pleather. But hey, it got me from here to there, and I was good to go. So that was okay. So you
That's
got, we've
fun.
Got
to, I love talking about that stuff.
Yeah,
because everybody has that similar experience.
Yeah, everyone in my family had the 1980 Toyota Corolla.
Ooh.
It was because Mrs. Little lived next door to us, and she sold my parents that car for I don't know, $500 or something. It was her car. She was one of the secretaries at the school. So she just drove it to school and back, Pathmark and back. That's it. So it was the greatest car. Never went, and so.
Until you guys got a hold
of it. We all drove that car. We learned what to do, when you're going to stall it, if it's stalled, how to,
you know what I would
put
love?
It in neutral, get it going, keep it going.
I know we beg for interaction because we want to know that people are out there. I would love for people to tweet us an image of their first car. It doesn't have to be their car, but you can go to Google Images and type
in
1981 Ford Escort station wagon and find it.
Bam.
I would love to see people's first cars.
First cars. That's what that should be your image we put when we put up the podcast.
Tell you what, I got Louisville.am t-shirts. Maybe I'll send one out to the person that tweets me.
You're giving away things.
The oldest car.
The oldest car they had.
Tweet us at 40-ish podcast.
Right. So here's my last one. Ready?
Yep.
So after you've driven your station wagon around Madison, you now have a dream. And when you entered college, I just mentioned when I entered college, I was going to be a doctor, thanks to ER.
Yep.
So and it doesn't have to be career wise, but what was your dream entering college? As everyone does entering college, they're leaving home, they're leaving high school, they're leaving all that normalcy, and they're going to explore. What was your dream entering college?
Well,
and how is that?
Mine is sort of career oriented, and I actually achieved it, but I achieved it a lot earlier than I thought I would. When I was in high school, I worked at the radio station.
Right.
So I ran Shadow Stevens Top 40, which came on four LPs, like it was like an actual record. And then in the grooves that's when you would stop it and run the commercials and then restart it. Anyhow. That's how the sausage is made for Shadow Stevens. and I would also do Saturday nights just as a disc jockey. It was fun. Best part-time job in high school you could ever
Seriously,
have.
Seriously, that's fun.
And so I knew that I was going to go to Ball State for communications, and I was going to be a radio person, and I was going to, I was going to be, of course, because I had experience. People looked up to me.
Yes.
Not really. There is a lot more to communications than being a disc jockey, and I've learned that over my career. But my goal in life was to be the promotion director, which is kind of the contest person and kind of a marketing person for WQMF here in Louisville.
Oh, okay.
And I was that at age 26.
So you're just done. You just drop the mic and you're like, I'm over.
Not as hard to do as I thought it was going to be. Over life, I have found that I set my sights pretty low. And that's a pretty good...
So you thought it was lofty, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
And you did it with relative ease.
Yeah. And so I don't think that... And this is what I've learned from that type of experience, that I don't challenge myself enough to do something that's really great. I mean, it's great that I said, this is what I want to do, and then I ended up at some point doing it. Now, I had a lot of detours along the way, and I built my experience, and I was able to eventually become that and then leave by the time I was 29 or something.
Right.
And move on to
imagine,
other things.
Yeah, you achieve something. If you have what is your goal and you get it when you're 26, then it's like, okay, now what?
You know what, though? I'm grateful that I'm turned 45 in a month, and I'm not too old to take that lesson that I learned and improve on it.
Right.
So I'm only 45. So I'm going to continue to set goals for myself, but I need them to be higher than I ordinarily would
reach a little further.
Right. And so it was a goal to start this podcast network.
And you did.
I did it. Now I need to grow it. And I need to say I need it to do this, 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 and this.
Right.
And that is a big challenge. But
it's a big challenge because of that thing we call the J-O-B.
That's right. Well, that's part of it. Yeah. But it's also not easy to do.
Oh, no.
So,
it's not.
You know, if I had a takeaway from that, it's we are older than we were when we got our first car.
Right.
Or when we had that first dream in college. But you know what? We're just going to... I'm going to hit the words of wisdom thing. Huh?
We weren't going to do
I've got certain information.
I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that. I'm about to drop some wisdom on you,
though. I was like, you better not, because I am not prepared.
But we are not too old to change the trajectory trajectory of our lives or set goals and keep dreaming big.
I mean, amen.
Just, you know,
like, amen.
We have children and we want to feed into their dreams and we want to help them achieve them, but we cannot ignore our own.
Right.
And so now I will drop the mic.
All right.
No. Those were good questions.
There's our questions.
Yeah, that was solid.
Awesome. I like that. We can do that every now and then.
Yeah, I think, well, we should do this for our guests.
We can have, yes. Plus, we can have maybe other people ask us questions and then talk about the questions they have for us, the people that listen.
Beatles or Rolling Stones?
Neither.
Oh, me either. I like The Who. You're the only person in the world that doesn't have an opinion on that.
I really don't. I'd be like, I don't know, Bruce Springsteen.
Okay, here's another one. Because I love.
Oh gosh, now we're doing like rapid fire questions.
Yeah, why not? I love Pete Holmes. He has a show on HBO called
That's
Crashing.
Great. I have no idea who he is.
He also has a podcast called You Made It Weird, where he asks really. It's a conversation, but he does. Sometimes he'll do a speed round at the end, and one of the great questions he asks is, "When is one of the hardest times you ever laughed in your life?" It doesn't even have to be a good story. But you have to remember there has to be a time when you've lost composure at something.
I can't pinpoint a specific time. However, I've got to say it's probably some point in my life where everyone in my family starts drinking a little bit and my parents and
so there's booze
other
involved.
And other people
naturally
start sharing stories.
Okay.
When people start sharing family stories and everyone gets way too loud, mm-hmm. and we start cackling.
Okay.
That doesn't happen for me very often now because I don't live near my family.
Right.
But this would have been, say, when I was 16, 17, 18 years old and everyone else is of drinking age and all that thing and people start telling stories and we start hearing some of these crazy stories and just start laughing hysterically. It'd have to be so I don't have one, but it would be one of those scenarios.
I'm chuckling about mine right now, and you're not going to think it's funny, but at the time it was one of those places where laughing is forbidden.
Okay.
You shouldn't laugh in church, should you?
This is correct.
Right.
Oh, I can,
and it's almost hurts because you know you shouldn't be laughing, and you can't control.
You can't control, and it makes it worse.
We were at one of my cousin's weddings, and we were in junior high and high school. Like, we were still living as the nuclear family in the house, and she had somebody singing in her wedding, and it was awful.
So you try
it was terrible, and so we were all sitting there just kind of giggling to ourselves.
I can.
And my brother, my brother is, the older I get, the more I appreciate how funny he is. Because I didn't think he was funny when we were much younger. And vice versa, I'm sure. He wrote, you know how they have the offering envelopes and a little pencil? He picked one up and wrote gong and passed it. And we all lost our minds.
Right.
My dad was probably just shaking his head, but the rest of us were losing it. And when my cousin comes walking down the aisle, she points at my mom and goes, "I saw you crying."
Yeah.
Yeah, she was crying as
the laughter.
She had her head in her hands.
She's like, "This is just so terrible."
And she was heaving her shoulders in laughter, but it looked like she was
weeping,
sobbing.
Right.
God, that was funny.
I funny church. Okay, so now you reminded me of one. We have one of the funny stories that would have caused all the cackling when family gets together and drinks is when we were little, we sat in wooden pews at the church. And we had a lot of cousins and stuff in the town that we grew up in. And one time I think we were sitting, this is how the story is told, but apparently I was there, but I was little, so I don't remember. And my mother let one loose at church.
Oops.
Okay. And apparently it was so loud that it was just felt all the way down. And so the story goes, because everyone is hilarious and it's in the middle of church and what do you do when it's laughing and right. And my mother, I think at some point said, you know, "He who farts in church
sits in his own pew.
And that's it made everybody go crazy.
That's even worse.
So that's one of the cackling family stories that when
hilarious.
We were little used to talk about.
Well, I hope you guys all enjoyed listening to this. I enjoyed getting to know
Stephanie
like a little better. Let's kind of keep a tickler file of these things for our guests because it really does help.
You can ask them some of the same questions.
I like it. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter @40ishpodcast, and we'll talk to you next week.